I guess that's Dark Souls, right? Of your character better slowly.
Streets is just Dark Souls.
Streets of SimCity is the first Dark Souls. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where one guy spends all week trying to figure out how to play one old game, and he's not even on the show. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And this is episode 165.
Whoa, 165.
No, in 2019, I'm putting a stop to your random remarks on the episode number.
I thought I was allowed to do it every five episodes.
No, I'm the police.
In 2018, you were, but Nolan's saying no in 2019.
Okay, wow. All right, we'll see. Maybe every 10 episodes.
This will be one of the most interesting episodes we've ever recorded.
That any podcast has ever produced.
Oh, we're going that hardcore.
Yeah,
okay.
This is
going
to go viral like worse than Serial did.
Well, first things first, and it's worth celebrating, but we have hit another goal on Patreon.
Oh my goodness.
We have.
It's been a while.
That's big.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Oh man, it's been a long while. Like, okay, so we didn't make many goals when we first started our Patreon. I believe that we had four or five goals, and so we hit some of the smaller ones early on. And then we had our last goal, I believe, was at like $100, and we reached that. Man, I don't like
quick.
Within the first year, yeah. Right? And here we are sometime later, a year and a half, I don't know. And we just hit the next goal. Super excited about this. We did have it for a long time set at that whenever we hit that goal, that whoever was a patron at that time would forever be immortalized online or in a physical plaque or something in our like NGP Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And some people, I'm starting to find out now, were actually kind of interested in that, excited about that. And maybe I think we can still probably do something like that.
Yeah,
however,
it's a fine still tack it on, but I don't think there was a lot of hype about it.
Not everybody was excited about having their name on a plaque that we had in our fake recording
office.
Yeah,
it was just like, well, what does this actually mean? After the way you really thought about it.
And so we changed that at the start of this year and instantly hit our Patreon goal that we've been trying to stretch for a while now.
Does Kenny have to get a tattoo?
Apparently really bad at incentivizing.
Kenny's tattoo's the next one, right?
So right, on the booty
cheek. For this one we just hit, we are doing our first ever NGP miniseries.
Yeah, this is really exciting. Because here's the thing. I love Elements. We do, and if you don't know what that is, it's another series that we have going for our patrons, but like I really enjoy talking about other stuff sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean it will be retro video game related, at least video game related, and we've actually talked, I think we know what we're doing, what direction, what angle we're going to take, we're super excited about this.
Nolan had some really good suggestions as we were coming up with ideas for our miniseries.
Where we just
thankfully,
take
we moved away from those.
An in-depth character study on Kenny.
Uh-huh.
Which,
what makes him tick.
That and lots of flatulence jokes. It was insightful.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think if we focused on Kenny, it wouldn't be a mini series; it'd be a mega series.
Ultra series.
Take a
couple
years.
We're not going to dilly-dally. We're not going to lollygag on this one. We're wanting to actually produce this content. We're excited about it. So hopefully within the next little bit, you'll be able to see a mini series drop in your feeds. It'll be available for everyone. We're super excited about it. However, we're not done stretching. Our next goal, we're a little less than 100 away, is our first 24-hour live stream. And that's a terrible idea, but it was Kenny's.
It's a terrible idea. It was not my idea, but it was one that I grudgingly acquiesced to, and the more I thought about it, I actually think it'd be a lot of fun, and I think we might be able to actually pull it off.
It's the worst, but it's also the best, because streaming is fun if people hang out. If we do a 24-hour stream and no one watches, I will kill myself.
I mean, we'll still be playing video games. You've got to stop threatening to kill yourself on this podcast.
You gotta quit ignoring me.
So www. I hate that I did that. Patreon.com/NGP podcast. If you want to find out more information, there's different goals that we're going for, but there's different tiers in which you could support us. And there's rewards at each of those tiers, but we've got tons of content. We want to keep creating, make it available for you. Thank you for all of those that have supported us this far and have helped get us to that NGP Hall of Fame Patreon goal. Second thing second, want to give an update on our best of 2018 poll.
Oh, yes, please do.
Yeah, so you guys know, but over the last couple of weeks, kind of as we concluded one year, started another, we began this poll, invited all of our friends and even people who don't even listen to the podcast to just kind of put in their favorite video game released in 2018 and then answer their favorite video game played in 2018. And so I want to give an update there, and then I want to encourage everybody, if you haven't voted yet, to go and do that, because I think that maybe that next episode we can just – we can call it there and see what our results are.
Does that sound good to me? Yeah.
I'd say that's good. Almost through a whole month. So so right now we are sitting at the top video game released in 2018, voted on by our viewers at 30.8%. So that's a good majority there of votes is, let me make sure I'm right, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. That came out right at the end of 2018.
And obviously, and I wonder if that if that comes into play.
It's fresh and hyped.
Right, right.
But it's also great.
The second one released in 2018 at 19.2%, that's the next highest, is Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay,
which not a surprise.
And then at 15.4%, we've got Marvel's Spider-Man.
Also, lots of hype there, so I'm still not surprised.
I'll give you one more because it's the only other one that's kind of above a 10% at 11.5%. Celeste.
Okay, I like that a lot. I like that Celeste even made the top.
I do too.
Four. That's really nice.
We've got a lot of other games in there, but you know it's scattered, right? Sure. Of who played what or who enjoyed what kind of games.
I like these polls. Maybe we should do more.
It really is cool, color coded and all. And the nice thing is, like, our next question was, what was your favorite video game played in 2018? And that's just kind of like an open poll. We don't have any choices to select from. You just write in your game, that actually like groups up the games too. So the winner there at 11.5% is Stardew Valley.
Oh, okay. I played a lot of that too. I get that. It's one of those like ongoing games you play, you know?
Right. And I think that would be my wife's favorite game for that she played in 2018. It was a great one. I had a lot of fun there. And then tied at 7.7%. So same amount of votes we have for Red Dead Redemption 2 and Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild still strong is not a surprise.
Still living on. Because that game's a couple years old now.
Again, we've got tons of other games in there like Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Super Smash Brothers, Subnautica, Persona 5, Overwatch. Yeah, so there's endless options there in what was your favorite video game played in 2018. But if you haven't voted yet, we've got the link to the best of 2018 on our social media, in our Discord, and we'll throw up the link to our poll this week so that you'll be able to easily play our little game. Unlike our experience with our retro game of the week, Streets of SimCity.
Overview.
Streets of SimCity is a PC game that was released in 1997 for Windows.
Was a PC game.
Yeah, it was. Rest in peace. It was developed and published by Maxis. And Dustin informed me last week, Maxis is the company that created the Sims series, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, the crazy thing is, and I guess it makes sense, Maxis is so familiar to me, but I found out this week that it's not as familiar to everyone else.
No, because I think EA partnered with them and kind of took over the series after this game.
Right.
So this was like the last Maxis-only title, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Before EA joined the picture. So,
well, that's a correct. Sucky way to go out. But Maxis was originally like responsible for all things Sims.
Yeah.
So the Sims, the Sims 2, just the Sims series in Sim general, City 2000. Maxis was responsible for that.
Okay. I'm glad Nolan said it. Because like early, I feel like SimCity was way more popular than like The Sims. SimCity and SimCity 2000 were those big, big titles.
Those were old too, though. SimCity was 89, which is crazy.
Right. And so like early on, if you played The Sims and you played SimCity as it came out, you would be familiar with Maxis more than what, you know, the parent company that took it over or whatever.
Cool. So Streets of SimCity is a vehicular combat game, car game that is pretty unique in concept. So SimCity, we keep talking about that, is another game where you create towns, you create cities, and like you have to manage resources, you build buildings, roads, all that kind of stuff. And the cool thing about Streets of SimCity was that you could actually play this game using some of the maps that you created in SimCity. So
which is super novel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too, especially for 97. Like that was the whole shtick for this game.
Yeah. And especially for games that were so different. Like customization is not unheard of by any means. Even this year, but you tended to do like custom maps for a first person shooter or something that it kind of felt unified. This stretch of like, now that you've made this SimCity file and you have it sitting around on your computer, you can go and play a whole game based on driving cars around that city and whatever, shooting things, destroying it, flying. It gets a little ridiculous. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, there's not many games that can be directly connected to another game,
yes,
like a second game. Right. I'm thinking like some of the RPGs with like Dragon Age and even Mass Effect, you can carry over some of your content, and that's even novel and really cool and rare. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to this, you've got obviously same people, right, that do SimCity and Streets of SimCity, but you take a city that you build out in one way in kind of like a peaceful way in SimCity 2000, which was a huge game, by the way, second installment in the SimCity series, very successful. And you take that where you're kind of playing God from a bird's eye view as you're building out, you know, the industrial area and the commercial area and the residential area. And then you load that up in a 3D environment from the streets in a totally different game. That idea is novel. And for that to be able to work well and consistently is an incredible idea that I'd still love to see happen.
Well, and I think they even went a step further, which is kind of cool. And in researching, you guys may have realized this or not this week, but they also put a very, very bare bones, if I'm understanding correctly, city builder
like
in
an editor,
Streets
yeah.
of SimCity. So you can do a very basic, like, even if you didn't have SimCity, you could still design your own racetrack based on like the SimCity, you know, style of building and import it and play it in the game. So it gave you the option, but didn't make it a dependency. Like it was still standalone, its own product, even without SimCity.
Yeah. And I'm with you, Dustin. I think that the idea is incredible and I'm going to steal it and make a game that
do it.
Does this.
And it was mid 90s, right? 97 when this came out. And that's really those couple of years there is when vehicular combat was a thing. Mm-hmm. And not only a thing, it was a big thing.
Yeah, what was up with the 90s?
Twisted metal.
90s is so twisted. What, that was what was up with the 90s? Twisted metal?
Twisted metal.
Yeah, the subtitle for this game is Mayhem in Your Metropolis.
Nice.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, that's good.
On the back, it says, your city to cruise through or bruise through.
That's ridiculous.
Kenny both wrote of those, this.
Both of those really good. But it was in the mid-90s when vehicular combat was a big thing, and so they were trying to capitalize on that. I had even heard something that like part of Maxis was trying to break up into three different departments, and one of them was a sports department, and the only title they ever put out from that was this game, which so many questions there. I know, so many questions there.
Nice.
But Streets of SimCity is what we got at the time. However, Streets of SimCity will mark for NGP a first. We've been a podcast for over 3 years.
That's
right. We have played and recorded, played over 160 games, retro games, and recorded well over 160 episodes about those games.
That's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games. We've played games from the 90s, 80s, and even a few from the 70s. We've played games from the Apple II and the Atari and many others. And we've had our fair share of difficulties playing the retro game of the week. But we've always been able to make it work.
But we're
until
quitting.
This week.
I can't believe this is the game that did us in. Like,
is this the downfall of the podcast?
Out of all games, this is the game.
Yeah. I would have thought like a 70s game. You said 70s, so I would have thought that one. Like, but
some of those 70s arcade or 70 whatever, like those are much easier to play. We've always found out PC games to be some of the most difficult ones to play because they're usually created for a certain kind of hardware in a certain kind of era, and if you can't emulate that anymore, then you need a community that has come around that game to create the patches and create the updates so that you can play it on modern systems today.
Yeah, which means playing any old PC game can be tough. When you find an old PC game that was arguably so bad that nobody actually cares about doing any work to keep it accessible, you suddenly find a whole lot of nothing.
Which is pretty sad because, like, I feel like there are some people out there that really loved this game, you know? But they're really going to struggle, and we're going to get into that.
Sure. And before you just turn off this podcast and be like, these guys don't even play the retro game of the week, didn't even try. Guys, we put in hours. I say collectively for all of us, hours, because I put in a good amount of time, because this has never happened. We always like push through and fight through. And if Nolan and I are completely stumped, then Kenny eventually finds a way.
Yeah.
And kind of did this week, right, Kenny?
I kind of did. Yeah. But that's a very big kind of, because after all of the work and like researching and even initially being like, guys, it's probably not worth it. We should maybe have a discussion about a plan B. I went back and toyed with it more and screwed around with things more and finally got it running on my system. But here's the problem with this game specifically. Not only is playing an old game from this era hard.
Right.
But then on top of that, this game is super, super buggy on its own.
Right. Playing this game in 97, 98 would have had its own fair share of difficulties, like trying to play it and keep it from crashing.
Yeah, it was needing to be patched even then to keep it to be a playable game. And this is also one of those games, and games, it depends on how a game is built as to whether this is an issue, but this is one of those games that as our computers have sped up and things run faster, it tries to process the game itself more quickly and causes some major graphical kinds of issues with how things load. And it's actually kind of humorous because it manifests itself mainly in this game with enemy cars that don't just sit still or drive around, but instead they bounce.
They bounce and fly very fast.
Yeah, and we're talking they bounce like the equivalent of like a 100 yards into the air.
Well, over a skyscraper at
times.
Over
a skyscraper. Like, and sometimes if there's a whole bunch of cars, you'll look out and you'll see like a dozen different cars filled with these old, arguably really terrible graphics, and you're wanting to just go run around and shoot stuff, but instead all of these cars are just standing there bouncing. And so even once you get the game working, getting it working in a way that is stable is tough. And so I can't even really claim that I ever got this game working fully, because I could play between 2 to 5 or 7 minutes at a time before something would crash it out, and it would be something different each time. And so even then it was pretty unplayable, and that was after a lot of work to get it playable in the first place.
So although we weren't able to get the game playing like it should or could or whatever, one of our listeners, longtime listeners, good friend Antonin, spent days,
literal.
It, we And he would write in our Discord logging his attempts of what he tried. And he eventually had to like emulate Windows 95, download a fake graphics card, get Fraps up, this program that can like bring everything down. It just an insane amount of tinkering until he was finally able to play it. Probably around the same degree that Kenny was able to get going this week. But Antonin, more than us three and more than any of our community, was able to play the most this week and wrote in some extensive commentary that we thought would be good, instead of just reading it at the end, to actually use it as a guideline throughout this episode, to read a portion of what he said and then to kind of respond to that. We did interact with the game, whether it was playing a little bit on Kenny's side or doing our research. I grew up playing this game. And so as soon as the music started this week, as soon as I started hearing some of the noises in the shop of like the car and the tires and the pressure, like gauges and stuff like that, so much nostalgia hit me. So I'll be able to even talk some from a legacy point of view. But we're just going to read some of his commentary throughout and reflect and respond to that.
We really got to thank Antonin on this one, because like the amount of patience that this took.
Yes,
it's as good a way to kind of jump through and talk about this game and what it is today as any. And so I'm lots of thanks to him for jumping in. Antonin's always been our PC guy. Like, he's probably I'm the closest of the three of us to having tastes similar to his. Yeah, he loves that era of gaming. So I was super glad that he jumped in and tinkered this week, and hopefully it'll make for some insight into just how difficult playing some of these PC titles can be.
Gameplay.
So Antonin wrote in and said, after spending a good 10 hours total trying to make this game work this week, I realized that I should have probably been doing my bills or writing a book or reading a book or playing Stardew Valley or recording worthwhile videos for my YouTube channel. He goes on and on about things he could have been doing. What I got to play of the game, it looks like it holds a ton of promise. It's vehicular combat, which I thoroughly enjoy. I like that there are a variety of missions, some which require more weapons than others, and there's even racing. So that was kind of his first bit right there.
Yeah.
One of the first things that you notice as you come into this game is that there are so many different kind of options of what kind of game or narrative or like story or like what you're going to play. And that, just it starts with just tons of options, story like campaign missions. One where you're a grandma who has moved to a new small town in Wisconsin, where she sets up a small freelance delivery service where she transports things like human kidney transplants and wisdom teeth.
Wait. I didn't know about that, first of all, clearly, but second of all, no, you can't do that.
Here's my take. You get a lot of people who are like, how is this even a Maxis game? Because, they do these simulation kinds of things that are in-depth and open and have this sort of tone to them. But I feel like it kind of reeks of Maxis. Maybe Maxis trying to do something weird and different.
Who is Maxis?
You said the...
He knows. Keep going. Okay.
Here's why. It's super open. There's tons of, you already said it, tons of different options of styles of play. A super amount of customization of your car and obviously of the map that you're driving around in. And it doesn't hold your hand. It gives you tons of things. And with some of that silly humor that they kind of have of like, oh, here, build a city. Oh, wait, bring in some natural disasters to destroy it and it's going to be hilarious. And it's that, I don't know, it feels like a Maxis take on vehicular combat to me.
Were you about to say Carmageddon?
Yeah, I was.
That is a mode.
It's a competitor, right?
Yeah, Carmageddon. So there was like multiplayer. I don't know if it was LAN. I mean, it wouldn't have been online, would it?
Nah, I feel like it's network play, yeah.
It would have been network play. But there's tons of options of how you play this game. You can play casually where you just drive through your city and you don't do anything dangerous.
See, that's what I like. I like the idea of building a city and then driving through it with
Sunday afternoon touring it.
No, and no guns.
And you can do that. Or you can choose one of the many like quest type things that just, and they're all very similar, right? Where you're trying to stay alive, trying to take out the enemy, and in a lot of these delivering some kind of package. But there's a straight up death match called Death at the Mall. There's an apocalypse type thing that is just like this all out battle chaos. And a lot of the times you're playing against other, like, or you're playing against CPUs. And so it's just enemy cars that are coming at you, trying to damage you. As you're driving around these cities in a lot of these modes, there are tons of pickups, like missiles and oil slick and ammo and just tons of stuff that you can shoot out of your car. And then one of the coolest things I remember doing just back in the day was the customization of your car.
Right.
You can actually like stop at a gas station in your city, in the city that you're playing, and go into customization of your car. So Antonin actually wrote, he said, "I love the fact that you can customize your car with different wheels, different weapon options, and so on. That aspect is something that makes it shine for me over games like Twisted Metal, which have no customization."
Yeah, it majorly appealed to me too. And when you talk through customization, we're not talking just like one or two choices. Now, it wasn't an overwhelming number of choices, but you're talking meaningful choices based on like a limited amount of money. So it's, do I want to just strap on one big gun and then be vulnerable? Or do I want to like slowly upgrade my armor and my wheels and my engine and then get better weapons later? And so it's a pretty like dynamic, interesting, you have to make some choices, at least through the story mode where your resources are limited. If you're not going to use cheats, it is the mid-90s.
And it's all like predicated on how much money you have,
right?
Like real life, and so you're limited into what you can do. You can't just power up your car immediately, and you get your money from doing the different missions in the game, and you have to spend money to repair your car.
Right, you got
to
do like, repairs and gas as well.
I was gonna say you're gonna be doing a lot of repairs because you put all those customizations on your car, but then you get in game and it's like, you turn around too hard and your car starts getting beat up.
Which is really easy to do because these cars do not handle well.
They do not handle well. You'll run into your buildings. If you run into them enough or kind of accidentally shoot a missile at one of your buildings that you built in SimCity 2000, it can come crashing down to the ground, which is really cool too, that you can actually interact with the environment some.
Does it update the map like in SimCity?
In SimCity 2000? No, there's no.
It like saves at the end funny. And exports it again. That's
right. Exports it back into the city. You're trying to build and you're like little brothers playing SimCity 2000. No, sorry. You're playing SimCity 2000. Other. Your brother's playing Streets and all your buildings just start coming down slowly. Yeah.
That would be great.
That would act, hey, is
that's
there something
my idea.
There?
Don't steal it.
There's only five cars in the game that are playable, but that's completely fine because, like we're saying, you have so many customization options, not only on your weapons and modifications, but on the paint and parts of your car. I remember just slowly, mission after mission, getting enough money to upgrade my tires to the next level, and that so they're much stronger, or the whole of my, not ship, I guess, but the armor of my car, slowly upgrading that, or finally getting to the missile upgrade. Like, I think I would always save up my money, not worry about my car, and just get the missile. Would be like my first tactic.
I'm gonna say, you didn't say, you said ship, not car, but that's an easy mistake to make. Because if you play this game far enough to where your car is fully unlocked, or if you just jump in and play in like tutorial mode where it allows you to spend as much money as you want.
Hover mode? Or
yeah,
something?
There's literally this hover mode or this hot mode and a million other things. You get all kinds of crazy things, radar jammers and shields and armor. Anyways, but there's one kind of primary mode that lets you like fly around your city, like actually go into the air and stay in the air and fly around as you shoot stuff or fight people. And it feels like a ship. It's crazy.
What else did Antonin have to say?
Antonin said, on top of that, the game allows users to import cities from SimCity 2000, which is just a dream come true for any SimCity player. And you can even paint and change the city textures with an editor that comes with the game. And that's something that we talked about from the beginning, right?
Yeah. It's super cool.
you've got a player's choice option in the menu that allows you to import any created city. I was big into Maxis games, big into SimCity. I played Sim Farm. I played a little bit of Sim Ant, never Dang. Was a big fan. I played The Sims, The Sims 2. That's probably one of the best ones. SimCity. One of my favorites was just SimCity for the, not for the PC or Apple II, because we did that as a part of this podcast and it sucked. But there's a SimCity version for the Nintendo. Super Nintendo?
Yeah, it was Super Nintendo.
I think it was Super.
And it was so good. And that's where I spent the majority of my time. I didn't play much SimCity 2000. It was a PC title at the time.
That was the only one I played in that era. But I played a lot of it.
Really? SimCity 2000?
Yeah.
Well, then you should have played Streets of SimCity.
I should have. I don't know what I was missing out on. No, what I was missing out on was a buggy game that just crapped out on you randomly unless you had exactly the right hardware, even when the game was made.
Well, I hope that y'all can see some of the, like, this is an ambitious game to do those things, to bring in an imported city. Like, that's probably not easy. And then to be able to drive around flawlessly. You can't drive around flawlessly. You drive around pretty flawed. But to have these different missions, and it's somewhat limited, but I mean, I just remember sinking hours into this game because of the different kinds of modes that you could play, because of the upgrades that you slowly do to your car. I mean, you don't really get that feeling much anymore. Well, you get it in some video games, but just that slow progression of making your car better. I guess that's Dark Souls, right? Of your character better slowly.
Streets is just Dark Souls.
Streets of SimCity is the first Dark Souls.
Oh, man.
And bugging out is the impossible to beat bosses.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, I didn't play a lot of Sims games. But I love, like, Minecraft and games of like that. And so this appeals to me in theory. But when I'd go to sit down to, like, play a Sims game, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, it almost became a job. So I've always thought it was kind of an interesting genre. But this game really appeals to me because of that linking that Antonin's talking about. So I just missed out on this one completely.
Kenny, you still, I don't know if you would connect these at all, but Civilization games, they're like building and management, right?
They're similar for
sure. Yeah, kind of.
There's some similarities
there. Some overlap.
And you still enjoy and play some of those kind of games?
Yeah, Civ 6 is still one of my go-tos when I have bigger gaming windows. It's such a marathon kind of game. You don't get to play it often, but when I do, I love going back and playing that.
For me, at this point in my life, I'm too much of a perfectionist that I feel like trying to develop a city and it would be too stressful for me and not be as peaceful as it once was.
Didn't you get into or try to get into that new game?
A little bit. Come on, what's it called?
Oh, no.
Just mention it.
We have to say. Kenny, help.
My wife played it for a little bit. It's the one, it's...
City Skylines.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's great. It's a great rendition, a great new, you know, for a new generation. Yeah. I'll say this one thing. It's a lot less buggy than Streets of SimCity.
A lot. Like, yeah.
But everything is.
Aged.
So, Antonin had something to say about the age 2 for this game, and I think that's a place we can camp out for just a little bit. He did say, unfortunately, even with a PC emulator, even with hacky weird patches, this game doesn't work well. I can't imagine recommending this game to anyone other than PC enthusiasts that have a Windows 95 machine laying around somewhere or have been tweaking their PC emulator settings or setup just for gaming. Mm.
You know, like we've talked about this before when we've had to play buggy DOS games, but I mean, they worked, but consoles have the upper hand when it comes to playability later in
longevity.
Life. I mean, they just
it's
do.
It's so sad and frustrating.
It really is.
It's the versions of Windows, man. I think it's Windows back in the day sucked.
But it's got to be developers too, right? Like developers can't just create it for one thing. They've got to, but they have to, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
they have to.
It's just a very complex issue. And they had to make games for systems as they currently were.
Yep.
The nature of it is it's impossible and it's frustrating me.
Even if it was a good and stable game that was playing like it was meant to be played, this is the first time that we could say this and actually mean it, that this game, Streets of SimCity, is literally unplayable. That even if it is good, and even if it was great and all of the gameplay was there, and if all the aging properties were there, the one aging property that matters most, can you actually play the game?
No.
The answer to that for this one is a no.
The meme comes to life. Literally unplayable.
Literally unplayable. Literally. Even if you spend hours like Kenny and Antonin did to get this thing working, at that point, at its best point here in the year 2019, it's still unplayable.
Yeah, and it's so bad that even if you take the layers of abstraction off, if you get it to play, and then you get it to play long enough that it doesn't actually crash out, it's also not just, and I'm using these terms kind of interchangeably, but it's not just like buggy in that it will crash. It's also glitchy. Mm-hmm. Like the game itself, you're going to end up with your car flipped on its side, unable to move, like happened to me one of the first times I was playing it, or where you run into stuff that you're not supposed to and drive through things because it's just like there are so many hurdles here that I think you guys are right. Even though it is technically playable, this game is for all intents and purposes dead.
At its best, your car will fall through the ground and you'll get a message that says an unexpected error has occurred and SimCity Streets of SimCity has to close, and then it shuts down.
At its best.
But I'll say on that error apparently at this point has occurred.
On that note, in researching the game and watching some of these videos, I laughed so hard at the glitchiness of the cars. Like,
yeah.
They die so easily. You drive wrong and it starts to get banged up, and the noise it makes made me laugh so hard.
The funniest thing to me is driving around, turning a corner, and just seeing like an 18-wheeler bouncing up and down super high. Like, that's just always unexpected and takes me by surprise. The sad thing, I really wish two things. One, I wish that it was playable today, that you could get it working. And then two, that it wasn't as buggy as it is and as it was. Because if those two things were remedied, and apparently those are big things but they shouldn't be. Those should be just fixed.
Yeah.
If I feel like there's some promise here and there's some good things here. I had fun with it back in the day, so I know that there's some redeeming gameplay values. The music, the soundtrack is good. I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I posted it in our music lounge in our Discord, but and even when it came out, like, it was lauded as a good soundtrack, and it's the same guy that produced or composed the music for The Sims and the SimCity series. It's some good music that's playing on your radio, and on top of that, you can even put in your own MP3s, your own audio tracks,
which
from
is crazy.
Your computer.
But let's be real,
it's so Maxis.
Let's be real, and can we talk about how the main theme for the game is just the Mario Underground theme slowed down? Dunga, dunga, dunga.
Oh my gosh!
Like, go listen, and you'll be like, "Oh my god, he's right."
And it's great. And like, that's one of my favorite songs from Mario. And so it's probably one of my favorite songs from Streets of SimCity. But like, the music is there. The graphics are rough, but it's 97 and you're importing a city, whatever. If you can be in a city, the handling, as we've already talked about, is bad. The upgrade system is a cool thing that I still think ages well today. So like, there's these conflicting things, and I would have loved for us to be able to get to the end, to have played this and then get to the end of this and really give it a fair shake. Mm. But I think all of this stuff is going to pile up, and it's going to impact our decision that we'll make now.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether our game gets our vote for New Game Plus status or not, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. We can do this, or we can just kind of all... like, my thought here, guys, is that we would just say... Like, we have to say no, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't play it.
I mean, I'll spoil for you. I got to play it the most of any of us.
And
I did have some really fun moments. Like, when I first loaded it up and the first time I got to shoot a cow and see it get destroyed, like, it was fun. And every time it bugged, I still wanted to fire it up and play it. And so I agree, Dustin, if it was good, this would have been actually a really fun game, I think. The customization, free roaming around a city you made, and then just like interacting with it in fun ways is awesome. But despite all that, you just can't get enough of it to work for it to be worth it. So even having probably the best experience and probably being the most hyped about what this game would have been if it had worked out because it was making me happy when it was working, there's just no way. And so, yeah, no new game plus for me, and I think probably sort of around the board.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, unfortunately. Right, it has to be because our new game plus status is we encourage you to go find a copy and play this game. We can't encourage you to do that with this game. Antonin actually wrote in kind of a conclusory.
That was a good word.
Conclusion to the to his thoughts. He said, the journey to making this game run has been fun. And if any of the listeners are still not on Discord, they've missed my constant spam of trial and errors. Screenshots of Windows 95, short gameplay recordings showing all the bugginess, and me crying on the voice channel. JK, I didn't do that. On the voice channel. If Streets ever came out on GOG with bug fixes and the ability to run on a modern machine, I'd love to revisit it. If anyone knows of a good spiritual successor to the game, I'd love to play that too. I think it holds a lot of potential.
Well, I'll make the spiritual successor. Don't you worry.
You make the spiritual successor. And can we say that if this game ever is like patched, fixed, brought out on GOG, that special we will episode. Revisit this for the podcast? We have to.
You got
That's
it.
Actually
got
a
it.
Great promise.
And yeah, and I'll just say that I think the developers here were self-aware, and the unfortunate part is that it's unplayable because I think the whole – I think they were laughing when they were making this game. Like, they didn't purposefully make it bad or buggy. It ended up that way, which sucks, but there was just a lot of potential here, so it just sucks.
And I mean, that's a lot of the SimCity and The Sims charm, that there is this kind of like wit there and sometimes dark humor. Mm-hmm. And they capture it here. It's just, it's literally unplayable, which means Streets of SimCity is not New Game Plus certified.
Rip.
We actually had some commentary this week.
I thought we just read people. It.
We did. We read Antonin's. Okay. Antonin, thank you for giving us your commentary, for allowing us to use that as a part of our episode today. But JP also wrote in and said, there are a lot of good things about this game. It is fun to play in a city from SimCity, and the buildings can be destroyed with missiles. It is fun to shoot the cows. They go moo and fly through the air and explode. If you have your computer set up perfectly for this game, it might not crash every 2 minutes, and the cars don't bounce up and down on the spot. I think there is quite a good selection of cars. The trains are fun to get hit by. Other than that, it's pretty much a disaster. No New Game Plus status.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Well, Kenny, he mentioned the cows. I liked them too.
I think you can't not mention the cows.
You can't not mention them. And then Hookshot wrote in. Hey. He said, although I didn't embark on the adventure Antonin did this week trying to get the game to work, I remember playing this game along with SimCity 2000 when I was a teenager. The idea of driving through the city you built was honestly pretty awesome. I remember the controls being terrible, but I was also using a mouse and keyboard and not a controller at the time. It's a fun idea, but not very well executed and probably doesn't deserve NGP status.
Yeah, I think it's probably summed it up well.
It sucks like when you remember a game and you're like, oh, that was so fun. And then come to find out you'll never experience that again.
And then, right, you realize it's only fun because it was a video game and you were young.
And it worked.
But there's something there, and this is another discussion for another time, about like, no, there is something about this game, but I'm even saying about like, there's games that can even be bad that if you connect with at the right time in the right way, you know, in your past, that there's a fondness there. Like, I think that there's probably, if we thought long and hard enough about it, there's a bad game that we're connected to. And we can't defend it because it's bad, but for us, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think probably everybody has a title like that if we thought about it. If you're listening the week of this release, I just want to shout this out because Hookshot did just write in. You have until Thursday to vote for Hookshot's design in the retro game t-shirt design competition. We wouldn't typically throw this out for just anybody, but Hookshot is the one that has helped us really revamp our image over these last couple of months. Our new logo that you're looking at right now, that's Hookshot. Yep. And he's in a retro retro game t-shirt design competition, and so go vote for his design. We'll throw up the link in the Discord, but for now it's time to put our Streets of SimCity to the past, man, never having been able to play it, and moving on to a new game. Our retro master list is ever growing, close to 1,000 games now. And from that list of games that are 15 years old or older, they can be on any console, any genre. They just need to be playable. We are randomly selecting the next game now. We're coming straight back to the PC, boys.
Okay.
Hope it's playable this time.
Okay.
It was a game that was released in 2001.
Okay.
All right.
And it was developed and published by a company called Jagex.
This can only be one game, possibly
our first ever MMORPG that we're playing on this podcast. It is a fantasy massive multiplayer online role-playing game called RuneScape.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
did
man.
You guys play RuneScape? Probably not.
I played RuneScape.
No, oh, really? I think for like 2 days one weekend in like middle school.
Oh man, I played RuneScape in middle school, had a boy named Chris that gave me like sexy armor and would help level me up. And I remember I played and played and played until I died in a area where like people can loot me afterwards. And then I stopped playing after that.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be a huge nostalgia thing for me. I played a lot of RuneScape.
Old school RuneScape is a more recent release of the first version, right? That's what we're going to have to play?
Yes. So RuneScape nowadays is still a thing, but they've completely revamped it. It's called RuneScape 3, I guess. But old RuneScape.com or whatever the website is still works and still has active servers, and we can play for free together, actually.
Together?
Yeah, it's an MMO.
Oh, my gosh. So, find a copy, of RuneScape this week.
I don't know about all this.
And play along with us.
This will definitely be a week you want to hop into Discord and talk about RuneScape or whatever you want to. So go to Twitter, click on our Discord link in the bio, and we'll see you there.
We want to give a super big shout out to some of our Patreon supporters. Especially this week, we want to say welcome back, Bradley. We appreciate you hopping back on board with support.
Missed you, buddy, baby.
Nice.
And Rycon, thanks for upping your support as well. Wow. That's super exciting. We're very appreciative. And as always, we like to honor our producer-level supporters. That's Zion, Gimbarino, Alex, and Dear Baby.
Bill.
That's right. You heard it here first.
Billiam.
And only here, since it's us talking about our show.
Only here.
Only here. You can't hear it anywhere else. But our longtime supporter and good friend, Bill, who has been around since the early days, that a number of us have even gotten the chance to meet in real life. And anyways, you guys have heard about him if you're around the show at all. Bill has upgraded his support to producer level. So, he'll get those weekly shout outs, and we are super thankful for his continued and increased support.
Thank you, Bill, and welcome to the producer crew. Also, our t-shirts are available. We've mentioned this the last couple of weeks. You can go on our social media sites, find the links to that on our TeePublic page. We've got 4 designs. Get you a t-shirt. Every once in a while, there's sales. There was like a 24-hour sale just recently where everything was on 30% off. Mm-hmm. So get you a t-shirt or two or three or four. They're starting to show up at people's houses and they've been posting pictures on Twitter or in our Discord. It's so cool to see some of our first ever NGP swag getting out to our friends.
So awesome.
You can find us on our social media pages. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch at NGP Podcast, as well as our YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave us a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend, Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play RuneScape.
Oh, man.
All of us together, everyone that listens to this podcast, maybe?
Yeah, all in the same room.
Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm selling lobbies 1.5K each.
And this has been our first ever literally unplayable episode of New Game Plus.